Gabe.
How are you doing?
Oh my God.
I know, another episode.
It's unreal.
I know.
It's unreal.
It's unreal every time.
Every time I say, my God, here we are again.
The audience doesn't know how much, you know, goes into these episodes.
They really don't.
Preparation.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
Blood, sweat, literal tears by the bucket. But Two Writers Talking Shit, we are back in the building with a guest that our audience clamors for. These
they
love these manager episodes.
Yeah,
they eat these up.
Yeah.
Yum yum yum. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Yes. We have manager extraordinaire Allard Cantor.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
Good to meet you. I'm so happy to talk shit with you guys.
Oh my God. The first person who has like played off of the title.
I love this.
This man knows how to
yes talking
and.
Shit.
He knows how to yes and I love that.
This is going to be a special
one. Yeah. We've already said off pod that Allard could be in front of the camera. He has that kind of personality.
I thought he was a comedy
writer. That's a lot of pressure.
I thought he was a comedy writer.
Yeah. We got confused.
Yeah. I thought he was coming for my job.
Watch
yeah.
like people use this to fall asleep too.
Yeah.
ASMR. Minute 15. All right, let's just, they'll be tweeting out. Put on minute 15. Yeah. You're going to like pass out.
And we could do an ASMR.
Oh my God. Episode. That's got to be behind the paywall.
That is definitely behind the paywall. All right, so let's start and just dive into it.
It's going to be a bit clinical.
All right, I'm ready.
Allard Cantor, what do you look for in writers when you consider signing them?
It's really, I mean, voice number one, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm reading it and it pops off the page, or if I'm watching, you know, we sign directors as well, but we, you know, if I'm reading, and usually when I read, it's either early in the morning or super late at night when I'm tired, and if I'm, like, really, you know, sucked into the character, and it's flowing really well, and that voice is really like original and authentic, and it's, they're not trying to be something else, then that's what grabs me first.
Are you part of the 5 a.m. club?
Not quite 5, but like more like 6. More like 6 a.m.
The 6 club?
Six club.
What does the TV and film landscape kind of look like now? Lamb steak. What does...
Lamb steak is mostly Mediterranean. you can prepare it a few different ways. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What does the TV film landscape look like now that the strike is over to you?
You know, I really don't know. I mean, I'm trying to, like all of us are trying to figure it out. I think like the whole industry is trying to figure it out. I think from David Zaslav all the way down, to the writer in a coffee shop, everyone's trying to figure this out. And, you know, but so far, I mean, we've been able to, you know, we have like clients on TV shows, staffed, we've sold some things, some features are getting put together. I mean, I'm busy. I know that. I know I'm busy and some money's coming in, and so that's happening, but you know, it's really hard to predict. And even though everyone's victorious about the AI stuff, I mean, you know, there's that kind of lurking, you know, Tyler Perry decided, I don't know if you saw the article about Tyler Perry, he decided not to expand his studio because of the capabilities of this new AI tech. Yeah, exactly. So you know, it's really hard to say. I mean, all you can do is what you can control, and what I can control is finding people with great voices and really working hard for my existing clients and just trying to stay current on what's out there and what's happening. I mean, there's really, you know, there's no point. You can't really panic. I mean, I guess one day, you know, maybe I'll be working at Walmart, but for now I'm doing this.
I might be coming to you to get hired at Walmart.
I mean, at least aim for Target.
All right,
you know what I mean?
Fine,
Target. All right. Now, Allard, I do have a question about something that you just said. Now, you said that you have sold some features for your clients recently. Would you say that those are like bigger movies or smaller movies or something that's like extremely high concept?
Well, we're getting a lot of traction on a horror script that we have out there right now. And, you know, it's under 10 million, but yeah, we have, a studio's making another genre movie. People want, like, I think I've heard a lot, you know, action comedy right now is hot, and I think people want fun. I think fun is like the word, and like that's what I've been, you know, fun or scary, like, but you know, we also have some, you know, more serious dramas that we're trying to put together, but those are hard. I mean, that's like mm-hmm. one piece at a time, like one inch at a time. You know, we've had this one that we have now a new star and a new director attached that yeah. has been up and down the mountain 4 times, like, you know, and mm-hmm. so hopefully this time will work. And then we've been trying to put that together since 2015 or 16. So, I mean, it runs all over the map. It's hard to give. I wish I could give you the magic answer, but it's impossible.
How do you, 'cause you said it's been up and down the mountain for like 4 years, how do you keep the writer from going crazy? Like, 'cause part of being a manager is managing personalities and keeping them, you know, like realistic, but at the same time having hope. So how do you manage that situation?
'Cause you're also a therapist.
Hypnosis. Put like one of those like pendulums in front of him, like just go to sleep while I try to put your fucking movie together. And then,
Alan is coming for our jobs. He's funnier than us.
He's programming the AI. That's
I am AI. Yeah. Like I'm a robot.
I knew it.
We really encourage them to pivot to other stuff. Like you know, this is the like everything else we spoke about. Now it's out of their control. They mm-hmm. wrote this amazing script, and yes, here and there, like, you know, I'll get pretty far and he might have to do some notes, but you know, I think that we encourage, you know, we try to get him other jobs, or you know, whoever, you know, if it's any writer, try to get them, you know, other jobs. We help them develop new material. We get them focused on the future. It's just like, really, because once the script is done, and you know, the agents and the man and us and the producers are trying to put it together, it's really, they really have nothing they could do, mm-hmm. or very little.
So hypnotism.
I'm gonna learn hypnosis. You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
You're getting sleepy.
No, I want to hypnotize people in like in meetings into buying my shit.
That's your pitch.
Yeah.
Her pitch will be like the hypnotism.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Maybe you we'll are going that. To buy this now.
I'm sure on the Zoom it's gonna come across really good. Oh my god. You know? People are gonna love it. They're gonna go crazy for it.
Oh my god. One of those swirly backgrounds. Yeah. Like one of those in the back. Yeah. Like yeah. I'm gonna do that on my yeah. Zooms.
Can I share the Zoom screen? Like. Yeah. Can you make it available? You know, you gotta make it available. You gotta
yeah.
talk them into
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Is this a horror movie we're putting together?
Oh my god, it is
a horror movie. When you sign a writer, because I do think writers are impatient. We're very impatient, and we have goals. Most of the time, unrealistic, but we got to shoot for the stars. How long, you know, when you sign a writer, like, do you expect? Like the process, just in your mind, like, is it 3 years to break them in, you know?
You would hope so. I mean, you'd hope they'd get at least something sold or staffed or at least some sort of income from their work within that time, 2 to 3 years. I mean, but, I mean, you have to also treat people very individually, like, because everyone's different. You know, if people churn out scripts at different speeds, people, you know, they're in different genres. It's really hard to, you know, broadly answer that, but yeah, I mean, you'd hope just from a, you know, me as a business person, like, you know, you'd hope someone is, and you'd hope for their career, you know, that they're not like doing their second job, you know, for 4 years while trying to do it. But, you know, there's people that we've held on to for 5 years just because we believe in them. And just, we just feel that we just know that they're going to do it, you know, and we know, but sometimes, you know, it's after, you know, you kind of, everyone knows when the time is where it's not always the writer's fault. It's not always the manager's fault. It's just sometimes not a good fit, just not happening. And you know, I think, It really depends. I wish I could give you a better answer, but
That's cool. One to 3 years, like
I'd say 2 to 3 years.
One is on the fast side.
One is. I mean, some of our clients have broken in 6 months to a year. You know, but I mean, it really depends. I think I'd say 2 to 3 years, sweet spot.
Now, speaking of your clients producing work, do you have expectations in terms of like how many scripts you want to see a feature writer writing any, or how many scripts you want to see from like a TV comedy writer, a TV drama writer?
I don't want to like, that's, I probably shouldn't have listened to the other ones, because like I listened to Zal Zerny's answer on this, and I agree with him. Like I would say like one feature and or two pilots a year, you know, but having said that, I would rather have less if it's amazing. We've had clients that will like send us stuff and it's half baked, you know, and they could have really worked harder on it and done more and, you know, just kind of, you know, workshopped it, everything. And, you know, they just like, okay, send it out.
Yeah, you know? It's the end of the year. I gotta fill my quota.
So I think quality over quantity is really important. I definitely agree on that.
I suppose. Yeah, because I do feel like, you know, so I was just telling Kayla earlier that like I'm working on a pitch, and like, you know, I would have loved to be done with it at the beginning of February, but at the end of the day, it's like it wasn't going to be done at that time. I needed to take time to like think about things and not go with the first joke or not go with the first situation or find a better ending or just live life. So I do feel like, you know, it is pressure where it's like, damn it, like, you know, especially when you're an upcoming writer, it's like, fuck, I'm trying to prove myself to Allard, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, I don't want to be him thinking I'm sitting on my ass, but you know.
No, but I'd rather, it's easy to send someone a text, you know, and just be like, look, I'm not in a flow, you know, I just need to do a little bit more research. I just need to, you know, work on this one character, whatever it is. Like, I mean, there's a million things that hold up the speed of writing a script and your person. You know, you could be sick, you could have broken up with someone or had a family issue. I mean, there's so many things that, you know, like we're human beings. And so, you know, that plays into it. And, you know, sometimes you're in a better, you know, flow, a writing flow than others. And so, you know, I think I would say like, don't stress if you're one of those, if you're just having problems, if you're just like having, but just do communicate that to your rep. I mean, it takes about like less than a minute to do that, to send an email, shoot a text, make a quick call, just be like, hey, look, here's what I'm working on. I think, because then they won't think you're sitting on, you know, they'll be like, okay, cool. They communicated that with me. They let me know what's happening, and you know, you're on the same page. So I'd say like, don't stress about being slow, but just communicate that, you know, you're slow, and maybe, you know, just ask for help when you need it. Like, hey, you know, could we maybe brainstorm, or, you know, ask the manager for help. Like, can we brainstorm? Can we like really, you know, go, can you read these two scenes? You know what I mean? I'm stuck on this one thing or whatever it is. Like, use your managers to help you get unstuck. I mean, that often, you know, people are afraid to do that.
Yeah. I'm glad
my clients are sometimes afraid to do that. And I think I'm like, you're crazy. Like I'm
a resource.
Yeah. I want to help. Like, I'm here to help.
That's actually good to hear. Cause I just piggybacking off of that. I do think, you know,
people are afraid to ask for help because people perceive it as like, oh, I'm going to be perceived as weak if I ask for help. I mean, I know that's what I think. That's why it's hard for me to ask for help.
Yeah.
But you're not weak. I mean, I think, you know, I think honestly, you have the wrong manager. If you ask for help and you get like an attitude and you, you know, and you aren't helping at all. Like, I mean, I think that's not on you. It's on them. If you're asking for help and they're not willing to help, then I think it's time to shop around and part ways amicably with whoever that is.
Yeah, I agree. Upcoming writers out there, I do feel like, you know, your manager more than an agent, I do feel like I talk to my manager all the time. Like, I text him today. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, I just finished this shit. I'm going to send it to you. If you could read it Monday morning, great. Like, I wouldn't do that with my agent, but a manager is really like a close, you know, like, I feel like it's a very close, it should be a very close relationship.
For sure, it should be.
Yeah, I really believe that like your manager should be someone who it's like you want to go to dinner with, you do go to dinner with, that like, you know, you can text them anytime, you can call the same way that you would a friend. And obviously there is a professional line there, but it's like if you wouldn't feel comfortable calling your manager or texting them, or you can't you've never had a coffee or like a meal with them, they probably aren't the right manager for you.
100%. Yeah. No, I agree wholeheartedly with that. I mean, it's a very, you know, there's especially now there's like a million, I feel like there's a million managers. I'm in this like managers group called the Classifieds, and I feel like there's like hundreds of people in there. Kayla's in that too. I mean, I feel like every day, please welcome these five other managers I've never heard of. And Jeff Portnoy runs that, you know, works with Zelzerny. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot, you have a lot of choices out there. Mm-hmm. And like, so, you know, I think people are also insecure. Well, I have a manager and I don't want to give them up because then I'm taking a step back.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if this is one of your questions, but I just, I think like, mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's time to let go of your manager. Like, yeah. I think if you're scared to ask your manager for help, or you feel like they're going to give you an attitude, or, you know, they're not responsive, or they're, you know, they don't understand what you're trying to do, and then it's time to, you know, lose your manager. And, you know, I know it's hard and scary, but, you know, most likely if you have a manager, you have other friends in the industry, and you have other people who are fans of your work, you know, some exec or whoever can help you find another manager.
I agree. Mm-hmm. How do you like to work with your writer? Is it like, because I know there's different types of managers, or is it different per client? But because you also said you like to piggyback, brainstorm. So do you like to work from the initial phase? Like the writer has an idea, they bring you an idea. Do you like to be informed from the beginning, or how do you work?
Yeah, I start by just saying, all right, I want something like Game of Thrones in space, you know, and then we go from there. Yeah. No, I want to know, like, I want to know from like the log, like the sentence. Yes. I want the story area, like, mm-hmm. they could tell me they want to do something with horses. I don't know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, and okay, like, you know, let's think about like different things. Is it contemporary? Is it period? Like, mm-hmm. like I want to know what they're thinking really from the get-go, because it really helps. Because if they're spending months and months and months and they present me with something and there's already like three projects with big stars, and you know what I mean, this thing mm-hmm. has no chance in hell except for being a good sample, mm-hmm. that's really not good. I'd rather like workshop from the beginning, so they're writing something like that's, you know, authentic to them, that's unique in the marketplace, that really, you know, if they're gonna spend months on something, like, let's flesh that out, you know, from day one.
I like that.
And we can even run it like once we work on it a little bit, then I like to even run it by the agents, because mm-hmm. they have an even better handle on the marketplace. And, you know, so and so is thinking about doing this story, what do you think? And mm-hmm. And the agents don't mind. I mean, that's quick. You know, you're not asking them to read a 130-page script, you know, in the second draft. You know, you're asking them, you know, what do you
Why
think?
Why do agents hate reading scripts so much?
am I getting in trouble? No, they, because they have like, the really good ones have at least 80 to 100 clients, probably. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, they're bogged down. I mean, just the way the agency business is today, like, you know, having that many clients is, you know, it's hard to read early drafts. I mean, just, and especially like, so they, I mean, agents want a script that's pretty much, maybe they'll have a couple of thoughts, you know, but they want a script that's like ready to go, that they can work on the sales at end.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Well, first of all, I want to give you
a compliment. No way, you have a question?
It's so crazy. I do want to give you a compliment, Allard. Like, you seem like a person who's done like a lot of self-work.
Yeah, I have done a lot of self-work.
Listen, I just want to say it comes across. I just want to give you that compliment. That's number one. Okay? Because a lot of people in this industry...
Have not.
Psychotic. Okay.
I didn't start out. I sold envelopes. I was in sales in New York for 14 years. I didn't start. I went to AFI when I was 36.
Nice.
And I switched careers and went to the producing program.
Nice.
And then I interned at like WME and industry management, some other places when I was 37, 38. And then I started managing when I was 39. And
I love
so.
That.
You do the math. Yeah. I'm fucking old. Like, I started with my partner Jared in 2012. We started Epicenter. I started managing just some friends from film school in 2011. Yeah, met up with Jared, and he was representing Will Burson, who's one of the writers of Judas and the Black Messiah, and a big comedy writer, who's now a big comedy writer at the time, he was just starting out, Josh Greenberg, and you know, we just kind of built our business off of like six people that we liked each, and we've been doing this now for 12 years.
Okay, you did say you were selling envelopes. Do you mean like at Staples?
No, not at Staples. Oh yeah, I didn't have a stand.
Like a Dunder Mifflin?
No, I sold envelopes like to like big ad agencies, magazines, like banks, like big companies that mailed out like millions and millions of pieces. My biggest year I sold like, I think like well over a billion envelopes.
This is crazy.
I did like about $16 million in sales and envelope sales that year. Yeah,
When you're like taking a client script out, are you like, yeah, I could sell this. I could sell anything. I could sell envelopes.
Kind of. It's very similar, honestly. Like, wow. and we use like, all right. So we had this one client that if you own, I don't want to get too into the weeds with envelopes, but we had this one client that if you own
stuff. Oh, we're about to do envelope.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I'm mailing something tomorrow. What envelope should
I
put
I'm still living on envelope money. Yeah, but.
Should I put it in?
Say that again?
No, just keep going. I said I'm mailing something tomorrow.
Yeah. No problem. This one client used to, they sell out, like they sent out mailings for all the public companies. Like if you own a stock, you as a shareholder, you get their mailings. And so we used to have like 180 items for them at one time in our warehouse, different items in stock. And after a while, I used to give them access because it was so complicated, like trying to, you know, this way they can look in real time what we had in the place and we can kind of figure out together what we needed to make. And so I sort of put that into this, like we give our clients access to their submission grid so they can see like where we've sent it, like what we've done, what the feedback is. And so instead of them wondering like, all right, it's like just my envelope client in New York wondering what the hell we have there in our warehouse. Like the clients know like what we've done with their material, what we've done with their product. And then they can say, wait a second, I have a cousin at this place or I've done work there before. Or then they can give us like five new ideas. Like, wait a second. Like I see it's awesome. You sent it to like these 10 places. What about these five other ideas, like what about, and so it like the discussions we have don't start with what are you doing? Like the discussions we have started like, okay, I see what you've done. Like here's what's next. Like what's the next part of the strategy? And do we have to call the agent? So it's a higher level conversation rather than like, what the hell is Allard doing for me?
That's dope.
I mean, that's an incredible level of transparency. Yeah, like, I've literally never heard that. Like, usually it's like you, the client, are like emailing your manager like, what? Like, what's happening with that script? Like, did you hear anything from like Judd Apatow's company? Like,
yeah, you know? I know.
I've never sent an email like that.
Well, it works most of the time. We started at the very beginning doing this, and then because we started putting all of our submission grids on Google Docs, so it's just easy to give our client access to their specific one. And I think, you know, once we did that, like we have a couple of people on our roster. I won't mention any names that like. I feel like refresh it like every 20, every 27 seconds, you know, like, and like refreshed. The second we like add, like add what we've done, then I get like a text. Oh, it's so great that you did. You know,
you're like, God, damn, that's weird.
like, do you know what I made for breakfast too? Like, ease up, a little, but
like at the end of the social network, we're constantly refreshing the page to see if his ex-girlfriend accepted the friend request.
Yeah, it's a lot. So I mean, there's only like one or two like that. Most of the people use it the way, and we tell people, this is how you should use it. You should look at it once a week, you know, see what's up. And then like, you know, kind of come up with ideas. Like we can't think of everything. And some of the best clients are the ones that really are working on it themselves too. So those people will kind of identify who's working on their favorite shows, who are the producers, who are the studios, who are the networks, and they'll be like, okay, well, I really am, I, you know, we just had a brainstorming session with one of our clients who told us like their 10 favorite shows. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of figure out, okay, who are the producers, who are the networks, who are the studios, and then reverse engineer that shit, try to get them meetings. And even if they don't get on those shows, like, because they like those shows, that maybe, you know, that those conversations will lead to other things, and, you know, maybe help them get on something similar, or you know, make open another door that we weren't thinking about.
Yeah, I love all of that. Also, I was gonna say, because you kind of got into it briefly, what does a good client look like to you?
Someone's making us a lot of money. Obviously. Hey,
you know what's funny?
No, I'm just kidding.
You know what's funny, though? I do tell, like, my writer friends, I'm like, make your manager money as soon as possible. Like, I mean, because it's just, I mean, you know. But anyhow, go ahead, though.
No, not to... Someone, I guess, like we touched on a bunch of them. The ones who, I mean, obviously, who have a great voice and who are continually generating new material and new ideas, you know, not just sitting on that one script waiting for action. They finish that script, take a quick break, and then figure out, okay, what's the next thing? Like, coming up with ideas that they can bring to, like, meetings. And also the ones that are networking out there, like, going, you know, meeting with other writers, you know, meeting other execs out. You know, I don't mind. I don't feel territorial about that. If, like, if someone figures out a way to get into an exec on their own, and or is out at a party and is talking and meeting people, like, I want people that are out there that are, because it's, I mean, it's really, I mean, it's getting harder and harder, and it's like it's got to be a combined hustle of reps and client trying to get it going. It has to be. And, you know, I think someone who's reasonable, I think, like, you know, someone that understands the marketplace, understands, like, you know, how hard it is, and, you know, but also that holds us accountable. Like, that, you know, I mean, I like that we have the list available to our clients, because we're accountable, and, like, you know, if we're not doing enough for the client, like, they know it, we know it, and that's a good discussion. So it's, you know, I think a good client is involved with us, generating out there in the marketplace, reading the trades, you know, really, you know, and just not sitting back on one great script and expecting everything to come to them.
Magic? What do you mean? We can't just sit back?
I wish. I mean,
so one of your clients, Stephen Canals, I told him this too, but Stephen Canals is one of the reasons I entered UCLA online writing program.
Oh, wow.
Because I heard one of his interviews. And at the time, I had entered NYU, USC, LMU, UCLA. They all rejected me, except UCLA was like, we're not going to take you for grad school. This is for grad school. It was like, not going to take you for grad school, but we got this program. Now, I remember when I looked up the program, Stephen Canals came up, and I was a fan of Pose. And I was like, oh, shit, well, if he did it, then this makes it valid. And so I got in that program, and the program changed my life, because it was the first time I got, because I had graduated with a degree in screenwriting, but this is the first time I got taught by, like, real writers. Like, they had credits, you know what I'm saying? And I came out of there with, like, three scripts, and that's one awesome. Of them is the one that got me a manager, got me in a Nickelodeon fellowship, that got me in my first room.
That's amazing.
So, shout out Stephen Canals out there.
All right. Yeah, he's as fantastic as he appears to be in interviews, and he's just a terrific person. I'm lucky. I feel super lucky to be part of his team and part of his life. He's like an amazing guy.
How did you two meet? How did you come to represent him?
Well, our friend Anastasia at the time, who's now a manager, she worked with us for a long time, and she's on her own now, but she worked for Tobey Maguire, and she was a judge at the UCLA showcase. Yeah. And she brought it to Toby, and you know, Toby's like, I don't know, you know, I she didn't know what to do with, he didn't know what to, you know, just didn't feel as right fit for the company, and which is, like, honestly, like, you know, we can go into that later, but she's like, I can help get a manager. And so she sent it to some managers, sent it to us, sent it to, like, four or five others, and we were blown away by the material, by that and his other other script called Hope Projects.
Yeah, I heard about that. I hella want to read it though, but I heard about the premise.
I'll send it to you. Just please. Email me offline. But they were both beautiful, authentic, amazing stories, and so we took the meeting and just had a great lunch with him and just really hit it off, and that was it. We went to the races, and then we got him hired on Dead of Summer, which was a short-lived but awesome horror show by my friends Kitsis and Horowitz, and then we literally sent Pose. Because we keep that spreadsheet. I checked after this. We sent it to 151 what? People.
Love, they love that hustle.
150.
If you could see Mel's face.
It was right line. The producer that wound up running with it, Sherry Marsh, who's amazing.
How many clients do you have?
Well, now we have I think we have 40 or 42.
I'm just saying, because to be able to send it to 150 people, you can't have 100 clients, right?
This is over two or three years. We sent it for a long time. We sent it out for a long period of time. We sent it, and he got so many, he got countless meetings. He got 100 meetings. Wow. And all of them were this is amazing. We can't make they assume that we can't make a show about trans mm-hmm. protagonists, and so but we kept sending it out, and Sherry Marsh, who's an EP on Viking, she's a manager, she as well, and producer, but she's more focused on producing these days, but she was an EP on Viking. She found the source material. She's a scrappy, amazing hustler, and we sent it to her, and she fell in love with the script. And she's like, "I got this. I'm gonna get it to Alan Ball and Ryan Murphy."
Wow.
And she got him meetings with both, and Ryan, it turned out, had it was kind of a nice coincidence, but kismet, whatever you want to say. But he had acquired the rights to Paris is Burning mm-hmm. at that time, and he was interested in that world. And anyway, it just the FX bought it, and they made it, and it's been an amazing ride. And he's he's been doing a lot of TV directing. He has a bunch of stuff in development. I can't I feel bad. I wish I could talk about it more, but he's got some cool stuff in development. But he's an amazing champion for many people, and he's just I just love being able to talk to him and help him.
Yeah, no, he actually won the UCLA thing.
Yeah,
I think I entered. I didn't.
I think he was first and runner up.
Both scripts though.
Yeah, I think he won, and I think I forget which. I think maybe Hope Projects won and Pose got runner up. He's gonna kill me because I forget. I think
it might have been Pose.
You're listening, Steven. I'm sorry, I forgot. I'll look it up.
I think it might have been Pose that won, but then the other one was a runner up. But just the fact, when you're in that program, because most people aren't even finished with their script at that time when it comes up, to enter for that. And it's funny because if he had two, he was smoking in that. He was not fucking around in that mm-hmm. class.
Oh, no, for sure. No, he really, and he was a real adult. He had already had a career in education, and so he had this opportunity. He really came out here and put his head down. But a lot of people in his class are very successful. He was in a really good class. At least 10 that I know who are his friends are working, and some are showrunner level. I mean, he's got a bunch of successful classmates that came out. So it is a great program.
We need to be getting an affiliate link from UCLA at this point.
I know, as much as I talk about it, I don't even think they know that I did anything after that class, but at some point they will.
I'm going to promote AFI. I love AFI too.
I have friends that went through AFI.
I'm a big AFI fan. AFI
is a great program too.
Yeah. Now, how do you prepare your client to meet with Ryan Murphy for the first time?
I don't think there's really any preparation for that. but I think in general, I mean, we expect our clients to be researched, and kind of really know what for any meeting. I mean, I think this is across the board. I mean, it's like if your listeners out there have meetings, I mean, you should really research who you're meeting with, like get to know as much as possible, even like try to know about their family or like about other interests they may have, or even organizations that they're involved with, or, you know, just really try to get to know them as much as you can before the meeting, you know, it's just so that your conversation is at a higher level too. And know about, like, you know, what they've done, definitely watch some of their stuff if you haven't already, and, you know, really be prepared to like also pivot based on what they've done and what they're doing, like pivot, like what you're bringing to them a little bit, you know, sort of position it. You can have an advantage by positioning something different in a different way based on who they are and what they, you know, you just can't come with the same canned thing every time. I mean, I try to do that myself. I really try to, like, you know, before I go into a meeting, like really, you know, take a beat and like look at who I'm speaking with and what they've done. If I don't meet them, and, you know, maybe ask the person who referred me, or, you know, figure out on social who we have in common and ask them, you know, just so we have like a little bit, it's easier to build a rapport with someone like that.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, we talked about the Ghostbuster marshmallow man size blob of AI that's chasing after us in the background.
Yes.
You like that, Caitlin?
That was filthy the way you just said
it. Was it? Disgusting.
What role do you see AI playing in TV and film, and how scared, if any, or how happy are you about AI coming forward, and what should screenwriters be doing? Should we be playing with AI, or what are you suggesting?
I think you should be current on it. I think I'm trying to be. It's so many hours in a day, and I'm trying to. There's a check out like Google Seated, SEAT*D. It's I know there's 80 Ben Silvermans in this town, but this Ben Silverman. This Ben Silverman is my friend, and he's worked for a director, and he was at CAA. Then he had owned a post house, and now he consults like entertainment company. He developed a business where he consults entertainment companies and entertainment professionals on AI and what the capabilities are. And he has a newsletter. I recommend subscribing, and he's pretty accessible. He's easy to reach out to. I mean, I think, I'm trying to just like learn from people like him and like just try to read a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it's, you can't control technology, and you can't, this is like really out of your control. I mean, but what technology can't do is have your original authentic voice, you know? And so I think I'm just trying to lean into that and have my clients lean into that.
Yeah. Technology didn't have a dad who didn't love them.
Oh my God. All right. That's true. I'm sorry, Melanie. If you guys weren't so close together, I would give you a hug right now. these two, by the way, I'm gonna out you guys. One of the mics was out, and so now they're sharing a mic, and I feel like they're just gonna bust into some sort of duet.
It's like the Doobie Brothers,
or like one of those like benefits from the 80s, yes, you know, like We Are the World, We Are the World, or
it's We Are the World,
the Christmas one.
We Are the People.
Yeah, exactly.
All we need is a piano.
Yeah. Right. Can you play the piano?
Very little.
Okay. Yeah. I look great standing next to a piano. Yes. Now, for our unwrapped writers out there, Allard, do you look at query letters? Do they go straight to your trash box? What's happening there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad. I know I don't want to get backlash, but I, you know, generally they do. And you know, I really wish I could. But we, when we started the first couple of years, we would read them all. We'd read the query letters, and like, we would respond to them all, and, you know, we'd try to read as many of the ones that we thought were interesting as possible, but like we signed one person off of a query letter, and they wound up being one of the worst clients we've ever had. Like, they were just like, bad with notes. They were, you know, it was like, yeah. it was just like a, I wouldn't say worst client, but it was like a tough client to work with. And so we just, you know, and it's super easy. Like I know it's hard if you're coming from the outside, but if you have something great, you know, like if you really do have something great, you're going to find like even if you're out of town, like, so let's say, all right, if you're here, there's no reason to not have like an exec or someone in the, I basically just need someone in the industry that I've heard of or like, you know, preferably know, send me a script and we'll read it. Like, you know, unless we really are, you know, have some completely similar. I mean, there's, I guess, a couple of reasons why we wouldn't read it, you know, if they're going to send us something, it has to go through someone we know, or, you know, sometimes we've given seminars, and, you know, we'll open that up. But honestly, like if you have something great, you have a local college near you, wherever it is, where there's a writing professor who could read it and probably knows someone in the industry. Or, I mean, there's a million ways you could take a screenwriting class that's taught by a screen, you know, like there's a million ways to get your stuff read by someone who can get it to someone.
Do you look at contests?
No.
Okay. Only. No. I mean, my writers. Writers need to know this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, I look at like. I mean, I look at some of the services. We talk like. John brought up Matt. From what's that?
Coverfly is it or what is what is it?
Script Pipeline from Script Pipeline. Yeah, right. Matt's great guy. Like, I mean, there's like, you know, we'll look at stuff from places like that because it's vetted by them. And you know, we trust folks like that, but I mean, we look at Nichols, I guess, and cool. Like Austin, yeah. You know, some of the big ones, but I would say there's like so many money grabbing, you know, we also, Tracking Bees one, just cause we know, I know the person who runs that, like, so the Tracking Bee guys, Adam is great. So yeah, I mean, there's certain ones we look at, but it's very, I mean, I would say 3 to 4. But we, you know, are mostly referrals, film schools, things like that, you know, is where, because I think it's just, yeah, fine. We might miss like the gem that comes by cold query, but you have to go through, we sort of punted that because we're, you know, there's only 4 of us at the company and plus interns, and there's only so much material we can get through.
I like that. Mm. Before we go, we got a question we usually ask people, and you're probably not prepared for this question, but let's see how it goes.
Okay.
What 3 things?
Are we almost done? It's crazy. No, I feel like this flew by.
I know. Yeah, it's just so many bombs. There's so many bombs and game in here. What 3 things are you watching?
Most afraid of.
Oh, am I God. Most afraid of?
You gonna switch it up?
Bed bugs. no.
a bad client that writes a million queries.
Oh my God.
The question is, what are 3 things you're watching? I need 1 from each.
Okay.
Reading and listening to that you're really enjoying right now. So what are you watching right now that you enjoy?
All right. I mean, TV. Honestly, like I. You know, I totally thumbed my nose at Ted Lasso. I did. It looked corny.
That's okay.
I was, you know, and then finally so many people, and I just turned it on like when I was just, I had like 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and then I got sucked in, and it's
love
like,
it.
And it's a pure joy to watch. I have mm-hmm. to say, it's like, it's amazing. And I'm on episode 8 of season 3 right now.
Come
and I know I have to watch like 5 other things, but I'm just like, I'm going to finish that this week before I get to the other things. And, but yeah, I mean, I love that. And I've really enjoyed a lot of the movies, like a lot of the movies that have come out, like Poor Things was like a crazy good.
Watching like, that this week. Oh, it's on my list.
Yeah, go see it in the theater.
No, that's what I'm gonna do.
It's theater worthy. And I really did love Maestro. And I regret watching it on TV. American Fiction. I loved The Iron Claw, I thought was surprising. Like one of the.
I'm watching that too.
That was freaking awesome, yeah. And I cried. It was great. My son and I cried. The two of us sat there and blubbering, and that never happens. Like the two of us, you know, like
my dad and I cried on Boys in the Hood in the theater. So like,
those moments are tight though.
Yeah. What are you reading?
Oh my God! I
besides scripts, or if you're reading anything,
I'm reading this movie, this book, Doppelganger by Naomi Klein.
Okay, never heard of it.
And it's like really kind of about sort of you know, sort of online presence versus like your real presence, like your real like real personality. Yeah. And it's interesting. And I'm reading like a few pages at a time. This book, Why We Sleep.
I just heard about that. Somebody just told me about that.
Because I was telling Melanie I quit caffeine like in November just because I was not sleeping well, and you know, I was like up at 2, up at 4, you know, and since I stopped, I'm sleeping like six. I mean, it's not a lot, but I sleep like 6 hours straight,
like a baby, yeah.
And it's I decided to like learn a little bit more about that. But I really, when I'm done reading scripts and done with my work, honestly, I prefer like watching a show or watching a movie or watching, I love watching sports. I'm a big sports fan. So, you know, there's my, and you know, hanging out with my kid and, you know, stuff like that. So, my fiance, there's a lot of, all those things take up time. So it's hard to read a book right now.
What are you listening to?
Oh my God, what am I listening to? I listen to all sorts of stuff. I'm, you know, don't make fun, but I'm a big jam bander.
Nice. Fuck
it. I'm going to go see Fish at the Sphere.
Nice.
But I also love, I'm taking my son to see Wu-Tang Clan in Vegas next month. Yeah, I love early 90s hip hop a lot.
Tribe Called Quest.
Yes, yeah. Tribe's one of my top five in general.
Just me too.
Musician.
That documentary was amazing.
Yeah, so Michael Rappaport's documentary is incredible. Yeah. Yeah, definitely check that out. I wish I could watch more documentaries also. One day when I retire, I want to spend like a year just watching docs, all the docs that I've missed. But I did watch that one, and I like indie rock and all sorts of stuff. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I love going to see live music. I'd say going to see live music is sort of my golf. You know, that's like that's like my hobby.
That's tight. Well, look, appreciate you coming by the podcast.
That's so much fun. Thank you guys.
These are the podcasts that our listeners clamor for, because upcoming writers want managers. You gave some dope game. We appreciate it. Mel.
Thank you, Allard.
Sure.
That sound like ASMR. Are you on Twitter or anything like that, or are you behind
it? I have a Twitter. I mean, I don't check it that much, but, you know, if you want, I mean, like, if all right. If you send me a query with this podcast, and but please, I'm begging you, please.
For the love of God, don't abuse this.
Don't let us down, you listeners.
Don't disappoint us.
Please have your like five of your meanest friends like say it's amazing, and like, you know, make sure that like if you have questions, or if you want to send me a quick question, you can email me at Allard, Allard at epicenter-la.com, and it's on IMDb Pro. You can find me easily, but people do every day. But please, like, honestly, like, you know, please, if you're sending me a script or if you're asking to send a script, like, just, you know, really, you know that. You know, that takes time to review. So just like, you know, really make sure that your friends, like I know you have other friends or other writers or, you know, make sure that they have beaten you up, that you've done the most development on it as possible, that it's like really authentic, and, you know, that it's worth having professionals read it. So anyway, just keep that in mind.
Like Eminem said, you only got one shot to blow. So don't fuck this shit up, man. And make sure y'all comment. Don't just email them without commenting. Comment on the episode. Say how much you loved the episode. Come on, please. Where can they comment?
Spotify.
Apple.
Podcasts.
YouTube.
Correct.
Five stars. Give it to him.
Give it to us. All right, y'all. Another episode of Two Writers Talking Shit.
See you next time.
Two Writers Talking Shit is an original podcast created by Melanie Mars and Saeed Crumpler. Our producer is Kayla Guest. Our audio engineer is T. Kelly.
Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you damn well please. All we ask is that you subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and give us a glowing review.
If you're not going to give us 5 stars or any glowing reviews, then why even log on? Save your rants for an open mic.
If you have any questions for us, and I do mean any, you can email us at twowriterstalkingshit@gmail.com. That's the number 2, and then writerstalkingshit@gmail.com.
See you next episode.
Bye.